more guys will get to say something. So, Jim?
Gene Ward led me to Christ, showed me how to grow, showed me how to witness, showed me how to memorize verses, didn't tell me how to do anything, showed me. Remember? He allowed me to fail without criticism. I went with him one time to give a 5-minute testimony, and he was going to give a 25-minute sermon. And I got it the other way around because I went first. He never said anything. Trained me to be a disciple maker as a businessman, but then he accepted me freely when I became a dropout and joined the Navigators, although that was not what he had in mind. He told me he was very interested in my family. He told me one time, if you ever twist off and run away with a woman to Madagascar, I'll be right there on the tarmac waiting for you when you arrive. I believed it because he met Norm and I in countries all over the world time to time. Gave me a tremendous encouragement, and I was thinking about the word faith that Kent shared with us and just put a characteristic of Gene with each of those letters. Father, available, intentional, he trusted me and he helped me. And when I was with him a couple of days ago, I can tell you he still loves God and still loves people.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Bob, you have a word? It's Bob Bender, Pastor in Ada.
Amen. Is Irma going to get this tape?
Yeah.
Amen. Irma, we love you. Love Gene, too. Are we going to have time for warisms?
Give a few.
No, I think we just ought to, I think just any warism, any just one-liners, you know, like if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep be your downfall. That's a warism. If it doesn't work at home, don't export it.
That's good.
And
how
about you?
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's for us pastors.
One I like that I give my kids is use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without.
Yeah.
You guys remember that one?
Try it.
It's great.
Try it. Irma, pardon us for this one. Young man, don't be thinking with the wrong head. I tell you what, he shot straight with you guys. You know Gene now. Come on. Don't be sitting there looking so spiritual. What are some others? Let's just hear some warisms, just one-liners. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to edit this, guys. So.
What else? Some other warisms. Anybody remember any? Yeah.
Any man that doesn't marry above his head is a fool.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, go ahead, Bob, and give us a word.
Okay. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it. Paul mentioned the other evening this discipleship conference that changed his life. And we were there because Gene sent us there and gave us the money to go. We appreciate that. Changed my life as well as a young man. And took time to hear the whole TMS. They're all 60 of them, right, Jim? I mean, you had to memorize all 60 of them word perfect to get by Gene. So he'd take the time to hear the word from you. And very sensitive to the Spirit. That's the side of Gene that... later in his ministry, he was a learner. He was a learner. And he admitted, hey, we need to be more open to the Holy Spirit. And in his later years, was really more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and led some discipleship stuff down for us in Austin and really ministered not only from the authority of the Word, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I appreciated that. Real sensitive to giving not only of his life, but of his resources, and only one time, aside from our honeymoon, did he give me money the whole time I knew him, and little do you know, we were in seminary, and there was $60 in our bank account. We're down to $60, and we were about to go under, and along comes a check for $500 from Gene War. Didn't talk to him, didn't tell him, nobody told him. He just listened to the Spirit. He listened to the Spirit. He knew, and he knew how to minister.
Wow.
And, you know, we could all say, I think there's a line in some movie, you know, you make me a better man, you know, and Gene was that kind of guy. And I walked up here with my Bible, because if he was going to walk in this room, I wanted to be sure I had it in my hand. You know, you never, down to his old downtown office, remember his downtown office, Oklahoma City, you never walked in, that's your Bible. You know, he's going to lay it on you. And there's a verse in the Bible, you know, Paul said, and they glorified God because of me. And that's why we're here this afternoon, Irma, to glorify God because Gene wore.
Praise the Lord. Amen. John? John Mayen?
Thank you, Chip. I was a freshman at Oklahoma Baptist University and was withering under the fire of liberal professors who were challenging every belief I had. When a businessman heard about some conservative Baptist kids and invited us all to something called the Navigator Conference in Oklahoma City. Three vans pulled up in front of the student union, and we've all piled in and ended up at the conference. As we walked in, a gentleman that I came to know as John Repass yelled out, "Those are Warren's preacher boys." And so we all went through, and it wasn't till later that I found out you had to pay to come to these things. We just went through, got all our stuff, got all our name tags, and went to the conference. Walt Hendrickson spoke, and Gene led the singing, and the first song he led was "Turn Your Eyes on Jesus." Gene reminded me a lot of my father. They both did a lot of combat in the Second World War. My father and his cronies, though I loved him, came out very profane, hard-drinking, tough businessmen, and I saw in Gene War, for the first time, the alternative to that. And I thought to myself, when I'm that age, I want that type of dignity and that type of walk with God. Later that year, he invited me and some of the other students to his office, and he had something called a book closet. And he said, "You boys all go in there and just get yourself some stuff." And we did. We all came out with arms full of books, and he was glad to send us on his way. That was 1971. Year 2001, Stanley, would you stand up? Dr. McCallway was with me. We were going up to Stillwater, and we were in his office, and Gene said, "Stanley, why don't you go into my book closet?" And in he went, and 30 years later, he was still giving out books to men who wanted to know God's Word. And that was one of the gifts Gene gave me. Take notes at church. Use your home for the ministry. Have a prophet's room for visiting missionaries and national staff. Involve yourself in international staff, and quit whining. Those were real lessons. In the back of my Bible, I have three quotes. One that says, "Gene War, use it up, wear it out, make it do without." The other says, "Gene War, love God, hate sin, preach Jesus." The other, it says, "Irma War, John, tread lightly where godly men differ." Those were real gifts, and I praise God for Gene and Irma War.
Amen. Amen. Paul, why don't you share a word?
I, too, was a freshman at Oklahoma Baptist University when I began to be blessed by Gene's ministry. And when I went to his office, he called it the fanatic closet. He said, "If you want to go in the fanatic closet, get some verse cards or get something you need, you can do that." One day, I remember better than all the others, and I have several precious ones, but one day I remember above all the others was the day I went in to tell Gene I wanted to get married. I told him I felt like I'd found the woman that God wanted me to marry, and he had helped us both get started memorizing scripture, and he had heard us both as we said our TMS verses. So he had a way of nailing you to the wall if you were the least bit off. And so I didn't know what he was going to say that day, and I was a little antsy about it. And he said, "You know what I think about that? Your marriage?" And I just sort of sat back in my chair. He said, "I predict you're going to be blissfully happy." And he was right.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Hollis, why don't you come up and share for us?
I moved to Oklahoma City in about 72 and started a church there at Nichols Hills and went into Gene's class. And I'm an artist, and artists would kind of walk a crazy path. We don't think like a lot of people. And Gene didn't understand a thing about me in the way. He always had this group of type A personalities, you know, that were gung-ho and all of this. But he accepted me, even with all the warts and everything. And I think that's one of the biggest things about him is acceptance of everything, of everybody.
Thank you, Hollis. Great guy. Somebody else. Bill Kennedy, ministering in Norman.
My wife Pam was governess in Gina Nurmer's home for about 3.5 years. And so they sort of adopted her as their daughter and one that they loved and prayed for very much. In 1986, I began to correspond with Pam, feeling that God might be leading us to a closer relationship. And one day, I was living in San Francisco at the time, and Pam was in Oklahoma City. And I got a phone call from Gene Moore. And up to that point, I had no idea that Gene had any idea who I was. And so he said, you know, in that deep tone, "Hello, this is Gene Moore." And then he said, "Understand you have an interest in Miss Jarbo." Now, that was Pam. And I was about to say, "Well, yeah, but I'll stop. I mean, whatever, you know." You know, I was sure he had somebody else in mind, you know, better than me. And he said, "Well, seems to me, you being in San Francisco, she being in Oklahoma City, you trying to get to know her better is a little bit like trying to eat a watermelon through a picket fence."
That's a new one.
So I kind of waited, you know, for further instruction. And he said, "Well, you know, this summer, Irma and I need to be away from the house, and we need somebody to live there, kind of keep the robbers out. Why don't you move to Oklahoma City and live in my house, and that way you and Miss Jarbo could get to know one another a little bit better." I waited a few seconds and said, "That sounds like a good idea. I'll do that, Gene." And so the rest is history. We were married about 6 months later.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we've got time for just a few more. Who else would like to have a word? Yeah, Bob, while he's coming, I'll just say that Gene's a guy that was always looking for a way to stretch you. And one thing I learned early on being around him was that he'd always ask you to do stuff that that you couldn't do. And I remember he would ask me to speak on things, you know, lead workshops, and I didn't know how to do that. And he would fly me somewhere with a bunch of guys, a bunch of crazy old men, and we'd attack this church, and we'd go in there and preach our hearts out, and you'd sit around dinner after it was all over, and those people were just blown away by what Gene and his team could do. And I got to be a part of it, and I learned from those guys. And I didn't think I could do what he asked me to do, but he thought I could do it. And because Gene thought I could do it, I thought maybe I could do it. And by golly, I did do it. And by God's grace, it went real well. And Gene believed in you. And he saw things that you didn't see in yourself. He saw things in God that I didn't see. And he challenged me, and I cheered, pulled up, and under his guidance, I was able to do it. I thank you for it, Gene. Bob?
I joined the War Acres Police Department in July 1st of 1970. And it was sometime around 71 when I first got to meet Gene. The other officers would show me where he lived, and so I knew right where he resided. And as I'd drive around through the patrol in the area, and I would see him out in the yard, I'd stop to say hi. And the first thing he had always asked me is, "Have you read your Bible today?" And of course, after my comments of, "I'm going to get to it," he said, "Let me pray for you, son." And he would. And he was a great influence on my life. Thank you, Gene.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Okay, one or two more. Yes, sir. Come on up. Is that Howard? Yeah. And then we've got time for one or two more.
Back in the early 80s, I was with Jack Hill up at Vance Air Force Base. He was the local NAV rep. And Jack had, I thought I had echo. Okay, Jack had probably half a dozen of us couples go up to the Southwest Region Navigators Couples Conference in Colorado Springs up at the Glen for a whole week. About 250 couples there. And wouldn't you know it, Gene Ward's the main speaker, and he's speaking on good old boy, businessman, Oklahoma City. So he's speaking on the bottom line, of course. The bottom line in your personal life, Jesus Christ. The bottom line in your relationships, Jesus Christ. The bottom line in your parenting, Jesus Christ. The bottom line in your financial life, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ being the bottom line in anything and everything we do. And it was absolutely phenomenal, just the way he related everything to Jesus and how our whole lives revolve around him. And it was kind of interesting. You know, Gene, having a good sense of humor, he opened every conference or every meeting with, he had this old out-of-print book that had been out of print for 30, 40, 50 years called The Sayings of Safed the Sage, back in King James. And so he'd quote all that kind of stuff, and we all loved it. And several of us asked him, hey, where can you get this? And he said, well, I think it's been out of print 30, 40, 50 years. Well, wouldn't you know it, after the conference, 3-4 weeks later, every single one of us, 250 couples, here comes a package in the mail with our own copy of Safe at the Sage. I don't know if he went out and got the thing totally reprinted at his own cost for us, because, you know, when he asked at the conference, he said it hadn't been available for 30 years. Is it now? But I was going to say, that's just the kind of guy Gene was. He'd go out of his way at no small expense to do what needed to be done, to just reach out and love people, meet them where they were at, and encourage them and help them to grow in Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Harry. You want to come up? Okay, one more? Anybody? Okay, Mogan. Abu Mana, Pana. Come up, Abu.
I met Gene in 1974 in Singapore. And I was his personal driver. Drove him around crazy for about a month. He couldn't handle the Singapore traffic. He was very instrumental to one of my brother who was losing 95% of his hearing. Brought him out to the U.S. and got his hearing back for him. And then educated me and another brother of mine, Chandran Manar. I think, John, you may know him. My mother, who was a very staunch Hindu, did all she could. You know, tried poisoning our food and threatened to commit suicide, and I could go on and on. Both my parents were trying to do all they could to get us back to their faith, and they were very impressed with Gene. He says, "Here's a guy they have never met before who was interested in us." So what is it about this man? My mother really hated Gene in many, more than one way. But when she came to know Christ after 35 years and came out here, she says, you know, Abu, I just want to do two things. I want to meet this man, Gene Ward, and thank him for what he has done for our family.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Abu. Abu, are you going into the ministry? You're in the ministry, aren't you? Full time. We all are, aren't we? You know, I could always go into Gene's office, like everybody's giving testimony. And Gene said, Neil, every time someone comes in for counseling, first thing I ask them, how's your quiet time, son? When did you stop reading your Bible? When did you stop going to church regularly? And when did you start justifying what you want to do? You need to get back to the basics, just like the pro athlete. Back to the basics. Bible study, prayer time. I'm going to read a letter. Gene was a recipient of the first award by the Billy Graham Association for the, I don't know the actual title of the award, but it was the layman that had the greatest impact on discipleship today. I'm going to read two letters, then we'll show this tribute that they showed. Irma went to receive this award. And Kirk Humphreys and Paul Purefoy and Potter and I were over there singing Christmas carols. She played the tape, and I said, please let me show this to the guys. It's a great tribute to Gene. This is from Franklin Graham. When we think of Gene and the impact his life has had on the Billy Graham Evangelism Association ministry, our minds race through the years. He spent his life and energy proclaiming Christ and encouraging others to do the same. His imprint is stamped on so many facets of our work, our films, the Christian life and witnessing, discipleship teams, the mentoring of younger men on the teams, and the list goes on and on. We're grateful for all that he has done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the support he has been to our ministry around the world. Because of your faithful support to him, Irma, you also have made an incredible investment in worldwide ministry. And you know, Gene would often say, we're a team. Irma and Gene were a team. And they put their resources into men and women who were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was from Franklin. This is from Billy Graham. Dear Irma, welcome to the Cove Christmas party. As you receive this award tonight on Gene's behalf, Ruth and I want to express our personal appreciation for all that he has meant to the ministry of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association down through the years. We especially appreciate his vision and burden for counselor and follow-up training, his personal involvement through both his time and finances to help develop these programs, and to work alongside Charlie Riggs, Tom Phillips, and others on our team. I don't know of any layman who's had a greater impact in discipleship globally. We're grateful for all that he has done to support discipleship training throughout the world. This award is just a small token to try to express on behalf of the training center here at the Cove our affection and appreciation not only for Gene, but also for your behalf and the part you've played behind the scenes. Gene, Irma, we thank you for the part you've had in every one of our lives, and even those who don't know Gene, know him a little better today. Mike.